Word.
So who's gonna do it? Should I just do it?
Danny's enjoying.
So,
do you have it?
Do it.
Are you doing it?
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 39.
Wow, that was really weak.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 37 of Crippled Systems.
It's
this
39.
Is Men Off John.
This 39. Is episode 39.
Welcome to episode 39 of Crippled Systems. This is Men Off John.
Lance, edit that out.
It's system singular.
Welcome to Cripple System, episode 39. I'm Menoth John.
And I'm Nathan.
Oh, I play Protectorate. We have to do it again now.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, do we
good
have...
Good evening, and welcome to episode 37 of...
39.
Welcome to episode 37.
39. It's 39!
You're doing it on purpose now.
No, I'm not. I'm having a problem over here.
39.
It's hello, like,
good evening, and welcome to episode 39 of Crippled System. I'm Menoth John, and I play Protectorate of Menoth, Retribution of Syra, Signar, Mercs, and the occasional Cricks.
And I'm Nathan, and I play Convergence and Pigs.
I'm Anthy.
Anthy.
Start it over.
Welcome to episode 39 of Crippled System. I'm Menoth John, and I play Protectorate of Menoth, Signar, Cricks,
Retribution,
and Mercs.
Oh, my God.
And I'm Nathan. I play Convergence of Cirrus and Piggy Pigs.
Sunday.
It's Pig at Pong World. Pongzilla battles Bigfoot.
Come see it on Sunday.
Jesus Christ. My name is Andy, and I play for Trick.
Welcome to episode 39 of Crippled System. I'm Menoth John.
I'm really a fan.
I'm Andy. I play trolls and procrastination.
I'm Travis. I play Cricks, Convergence, Protectorate, Legion.
You play theme forces.
Sure.
He does do that a lot.
No, he plays tier forces.
He plays tiered lists.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Tier forces.
And I'm...
Tierforge Commission.
Seaforge. It's Seaforge because they have like a blacksmith forge on a boat out at the sea.
Welcome that's to episode 39.
Nah.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
And I'm Danny. I play Circle.
Yay.
That's a good intro.
And Convergence.
It's like 3 minutes in.
This is like the shortest intro you guys have had, though, in weeks.
Yeah,
because we didn't talk about Breaking Bad, which is tomorrow. Oh. Breaking Bad.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't wait for that. Tomorrow's episode is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's the creator's favorite episode ever. He said it was the best episode of the whole series, and that the only thing bad about it was knowing that there were two more episodes to go after it.
Very nice.
This is the episode where Hank gets superpowers.
Yeah, it's for the spinoff Mineral Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you watch Breaking Bad?
It's minerals,
see,
bitch.
There's a great video online where Dean Norris, the guy who plays Hank, spoils the ending of the final episode. Hank wins, written by him, and it's amazing. It ends with him and his talking skateboard wheelie and a hot chick rocketing off to Mars to battle a new alien drug lord because the minerals he uses gives him special power. It's amazing.
I was going to say the minerals must like...
Yeah, no, the minerals turned him into superhero. He went reverse bald.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he turned into Bigfoot?
No, just he's got like Fabio blonde hair.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Also, the episode was so good that the creator of Breaking Bad quit Hollywood forever. And that was part of the episode. That wasn't outside of the episode. In the episode, the creator quits. Yeah. It's meta.
Yeah.
Dean Norris is like my new favorite guy ever. Like, I looked into his like Twitter feed after that and everything, and he's just hilarious.
That's awesome.
He's pretty good in Under the Dome, if you watch that show.
So that's one good thing I've heard about Under the Dome.
Really? You haven't heard any? You've heard bad things
did
about
you not there? See the cow get smushed by the force field?
Well, I've heard, in fairness, I haven't watched, but I've heard that it deserved to be like a 6-part miniseries and that it does not deserve to be a multi-season thing.
It shouldn't be a multi-season. It might work out to be okay for a multi-season, as in maybe 2 seasons, but yeah, it's, I don't know, I like it so far. It's pretty violent.
It's kind of like that Sleepy Hollow show where it's like, okay, so are they just going to battle the Headless Horseman every week? Like, that's going to get old.
I think we should at least give it a shot. For Katie's sake, we should watch it once.
I hope on the Sleepy Hollow show that they form Voltron early and use the Blazing Sword. Because really, at the end of the day, that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah. Well, if those guys would learn after battling Robeasts day in, day out, like, fuck it, we're never going to get this shit done if we just have the Lions out. Mm-hmm. If we just form Voltron and then form Blazing Sword, cut Robeast in half, immediately we can just go home and have tea and crumpets.
Have you watched the new version of Voltron?
They can
Voltron?
Have different heads. The colors, yeah. Each
they can
color
like
gets
rotate mid-battle and get different heads, which give them different weapons. It's actually not bad.
For what is this?
Voltron, the new
Voltron.
Voltron Force.
It's a CGI version, and it's really well done, actually.
So, like, Yellow Lion gets the head and gets guns or something like that. They each get their own special weapon. Yeah,
does it have Sven?
Sven?
Who? What?
Sven?
There is a chunky guy on it.
Well,
that's Chunk, but I'm talking about Sven.
No.
Wow.
No. You are the pirate that got replaced.
There's three kids in it.
They've got like, they're like cadets or something. Yeah. My 10-year-old's all of it. You know, you were talking on one of your episodes about how, you know, Travis, you like kids shows and somebody else likes kids shows. It turns out that I might actually, Hacksaw.
Yeah.
It turns out I might actually occasionally have to watch some kids shows too.
Ben 10 and all of its variations is actually not that bad.
No, it really isn't.
Yeah. Also, Avatar Last Airbender should be watched by everyone.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good movie. I'm going to disagree with you there.
Ignore the movie.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know why you're telling everybody to watch the movie.
I will stab you from across the...
You're the one saying we should watch this shitty M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I'm sorry, you mispronounced that.
That movie doesn't exist.
Oh, it exists.
It does.
Sadly.
Same thing with Star Trek 5.
At least nobody negotiates with plastic trees in it.
Danny, will you please calm down?
You're right, I'm sorry. Okay.
Shut the fuck up, Danny.
Star Trek 5. Yep.
The Avatar, the new season of Avatar just started, and it's fantastic.
Avatar?
Avatar.
Yeah. That's the one with the blue things.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a show.
Yeah, there's a cartoon cartoon.
Is he in the Na'vi costume all the time?
I mean,
is he ever in the wheelchair like he was at the beginning of the movie? When does the show take place?
When Michael Bay starts directing Star Trek?
I'm just saying, I thought Avatar was just a movie about the giant blue monkey people.
I could stab you.
There was a
show? That's what I
thought. There's
going to be Avatar 2. Have you seen that?
Yep.
He's going to make 6 of them, I thought I heard.
It's going to be Electric
Boogaloo.
I thought
you were my favorite person ever. You're not.
Nice. Avatar 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, exactly. That's the name of every second sequel.
Yeah, that is true.
Star Trek 2, Electric Boogaloo Con.
Exactly.
Or The Revenge.
Yeah.
No, he said he's going to make like 6 of them. Also, he says that he's never going to make another movie that isn't an Avatar movie because all stories can be told in the form of Avatar. And all messages, like all morals, all fables, they're all Avatar translatable.
It's terrible.
So I want to see Arthurian legends translated then.
Yeah, well, yeah.
No.
What I don't get with Avatar is, you know how they wanted the improbabilium or whatever it's called, impossible or
unobtainium.
I'm going with the probabilium.
I like it.
So they wanted the improbabilium, and the biggest caches of improbabilium, because of its anti-gravity nature, were in the floating islands. Well, they have like spaceships, so just dangle some grappling hooks and just grab the floaty islands and fly away. Why fight anybody?
It wasn't. The biggest concentrations weren't in the islands.
Yeah, they were, because that's why they floated.
The biggest concentration was underneath the town.
Because of the planet above them.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Right underneath the damn tree is where the biggest thing was. That's why they wanted the...
Remember, America had
to
blow them up.
There's a whole scene about this.
Yeah.
And then they gave them all smallpox, and then John Smith came over.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they talked to Mother Willow, the big tree. Okay.
And Gargamel came and ate some of them.
I just don't remember this being a TV show, Andy. Travis. Oh, my God. I don't know who was across the table from me. The point is, I didn't remember any of this being a TV show. So is the TV show before he was a cripple? Is the TV show after he's in the Na'vi costume?
I can stab you. Avatar The Last Airbender is not about that movie at all.
Which movie? Either. Avatar or The Last Airbender?
Avatar The Last Airbender is one name of a...
No. Avatar's with the blue creatures, and Last Airbender is with the Kung Fu Kid.
Yep.
I saw both movies.
Is The Last Airbender...
So is like the TV show a crossover with the two of them?
No.
No, is The Last Airbender, is that that movie where they could bend bullets?
By spinning the gun really fast?
Yeah. Where you could just...
Oh, Wanted?
Yeah. No.
I saw that movie.
I liked
it. Did Angelina Jolie naked in it? What couldn't you
Every know? Movie has Angelina Jolie
She wasn't
naked
exactly
in it.
naked. I mean, you got
saw
glimpses.
You saw ass.
You got ass.
I just went to my happy place for a little while.
There are cartoons with Angelina Jolie naked in them.
Yeah. It's called Rule 34. It's a thing.
Beowulf.
That is true.
She was nude in Beowulf.
Well, she wasn't. She wasn't nude. Just an animated form of her was.
Except
nude.
They like CGI'd, like they they rotoscoped it. Like they just painted over her naked.
Yeah, like, I actually liked Beowulf.
I didn't mind it at all. Movie. I thought it was a decent adaptation of the poem. Yeah,
which is its alternate title is Zappity Grendel.
Jesus.
Well done.
Wow.
I liked that they
professional podcaster folks.
I liked what they did with the dragon. I'm going to go with that. For anybody who actually read the poems, in the poem, he battles Grendel, and then he battles the sea hag, and that's the thing. And then later, just a dragon shows up for no reason. The dragon's just completely unrelated. I don't know if you saw the movie.
No,
in the movie, they actually tie it together an overarching plot because Hrothgar, the crappy king that Beowulf saves when he's battling Grendel, Grendel's actually his bastard child with the sea hag because she's like a succubus. So Grendel's like his own haunted curse, and that's why it's an issue. And so then Beowulf caves into the temptation, and he bones the sea hag, and the dragon is his child.
Oh, wow.
So it makes an actual contiguous plot.
That had to be stingy.
Yeah. Well, she can look like Angelina Jolie. Hmm. Or a big fish lizard monster.
Ah.
Both are acceptable.
Yeah, well, you know,
depends on if you're trying to catch a fish or trying to get it on.
Yeah. Magneto's got the best girlfriend ever. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Like, that is definitely a skill I would want in my girl.
Definitely the case.
She can shapeshift into any
body.
Anyone. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mystique. Best girlfriend ever.
Yep.
Like, she could be the most shriekish, harpy bitch, and I would not care.
I'm okay with Dr. Girlfriend.
Could also be your best boyfriend.
If I ever felt like that, I'm like, I wonder what it would be like to suck a dick. Hey, Mystique, pop
come on
one
over.
Out.
And it would be kind of seeming like legit. I mean, you don't have to drop the gay card at that point.
No, she's a woman.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, exactly. She's just a woman that happens to be in the body of Macho Man Randy Savage at that exact moment. Hey.
Sometimes you got to go for it.
That got to be a little more specific than we needed, Nathan.
What? I'm just... You guys, if you had to be gay, it wouldn't be with Macho Man Randy Savage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Beefy Spice.
Oh, yeah.
Boner is ready.
Hey. Son of a bitch.
You step away from the mic for 3 seconds.
Murder you if you make more fun of Randy Macho Man Savage.
I'm not making fun of him. I love Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, you're talking about sucking his dick.
Ironically, I would suck his dick because he's awesome.
That's how this came up.
You know, I like Randy Macho Man Savage, but I would not suck his dick.
What about Roddy Piper?
No.
If you had to, one of them.
No.
No, 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 no. No, you have to. One of them.
I don't. No.
No.
Is it because I come on the podcast that things go this fucked up
it's
this
Nathan.
Fast?
No, it's Nathan. Nathan. He's not a, you know, he's something wrong
he
with
just,
him.
He just... ran an event for how many hours, Nathan?
Too many.
Well, that was a nice segue.
Too many
professional
hours?
Podcasting. Like, now we have to do a callback to Voltron, and then it'll be
no, that'll
really
be later. That'll be
okay,
later.
Yeah, that's fine.
He ran an event for only 6 hours.
All right, I'll be appropriate.
And he didn't do anything.
He didn't do a damn thing.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I'll be appropriate.
All he
next
did, all he
minutes.
Did, is he didn't even organize players at the beginning. He's just like, everyone, just play a game.
That's the point of the event. It's pick up and play. I was there to look pretty and stop fist fights, and to my knowledge, both of those were successful.
One almost started. And you weren't even going to stop it.
Yeah. You looked at me and said, it's fine. You can punch him.
You know what? It was reverse psychology. I knew that if I told you could punch him, you wouldn't.
Yep.
And you didn't. So I was successful.
Who are you going to punch?
I just some idiot.
Andy. Me.
I'm going to punch you?
Yeah.
Because he bumped into
him. The fucker got in my way.
Yep.
Hey.
Yeah.
Dad, there's a lot of love in the room.
No.
Not really. Man, everybody on this side of the table pissed you off at some point today.
I think Travis is my only friend now.
Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't do anything to Andy today. I didn't do anything to Nathan either.
That's one fucked up love affair right there between you two. I've had better marriages than you two.
I just don't understand. Does the whole series take place on Pandora, or do they go to other planets for Unobtainium?
Are you just being an asshole, or are you actually like really confused in the head?
Which do you think, Travis? Let's stop for
a
second.
You have a concussion.
Don't talk about the C word.
I have a weeping head injury.
Seriously, don't talk about the C word.
It's very dangerous. You don't want to talk about it. But you can write on your hands, or arms, what you need to do.
I want chocolate chip pancakes. Can you get me chocolate chip pancakes?
Up top.
I don't get it.
It's a reference to a TV show.
I know that, but... Sure.
Blue Mountain State?
I get the slow thing, yes. Because I do that to my son now, because it's really fucking funny.
Because that's from the
C word. Because Andy told me about it.
Yeah, it's a whole C word episode from Blue Mountain State, which everyone should watch.
Yes.
On Netflix.
Yes.
It is an amazing college football show.
They don't go to Pandora, though.
They don't go to Pandora, but they are blue.
Well, the uniforms are.
You never see a football game.
And they are in the
mountains. You see games.
Hey. And they are in the mountains.
Some parts of them.
Okay. Parts of them, yeah.
Yeah, nothing too good.
There's no big dramatic final showdown against the opponent team or anything. That's not what the show's about.
At the end of the first season, I think there is.
Well, sure, maybe. Whatever. Who cares?
But yeah, it's really more about all the shenanigans that happens off field.
It's all about high fives, concussions, and vajazzling.
Yeah. Should we talk about the models that are coming out from Privateer Press, the new ones?
Sure.
The ones that they, because they announced a whole slew of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to make a right-hand turn into War Machine or anything like that, but we do. Aren't we obligated to talk about them for at least like 3 minutes?
Go ahead.
Okay. So we got the Flamebringers finally got.
I farted.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I appreciate that. So, at least it's not an aggressive.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
So the Flamebringers.
I'm afraid if we talk about the Flamebringers after the way he just dropped ass, I'm not sure that the whole room wanted to be engulfed in a large fireball. So, yeah, they're Daughters of the Flame on horseback, which the horses look remarkably like the same horses from the Tempest Blazers.
They are.
No. They're the horses from the Winter Guard.
Oh, I didn't compare
the Grey Lord.
The Grey Lord. The Grey Lord horses.
They are the same ones?
The joke is they're all the same.
Yeah, they're all the same model. Yeah.
I looked at the leg positions, and it seemed like they were not quite exactly the same.
Probably just the photo, they had them like rotated and stuff. Sometimes it's a trick of... It's literally the same horses. They did that for cost saving. That's why you can get a unit of cavalry for like $50. Is...
Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I like it.
But they
acrobatic horses.
So they've got the two blades still. They're on horses. So they're gonna be speed 9, light cav, probably. And then I don't think I care for them.
I'm calling 4-inch reach.
Where all the other light cav speed
to represent speed them nine. Jumping off the horse, stabbing you, and jumping back on.
Yep.
Aren't the Avengers 8? I think there'd be one faster than Avengers.
I don't remember the speed of light cav are anymore.
Seven or eight, usually.
No,
I mean,
light cav's 8, usually.
And regular cav's 7, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe these ones would be one faster.
Why? The horses are the same.
Yeah, but the girls are lighter.
They are.
The Grey Lords aren't wearing much either.
Yeah, but they're dudes.
But they're dudes. That adds a bit of
daughters weigh about a buck 10 dripping wet.
What about if the Flamebringers have 4-inch reach because the daughter vaults off the top and kills someone?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
That's what we just said.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Keep up, Sam. I should probably mute my phone.
That was pretty good timing, actually.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Oh, hey, I just got my PayPal payment from a week and a half ago. Thanks a lot, Avengers asshole. Right. Guess what? You're still getting a negative review.
Interesting.
You sold something?
Avengers are 8.
What'd you sell?
Look up what the Wolf Rider chicks are.
Sure.
I sold some Searforge stuff like a week and a half ago, and he hadn't paid. And 5 days ago, I put in a final notification, and after 4 days, you can then escalate it, and eBay beats the crap out of them. Yeah. And I was going to do it when I got home after the event. So if we weren't podcasting right now, this guy already would have gotten his shit shoved in by eBay. So nice. Lucky for him.
I don't know. I think the models...
Wolf Riders are 9s.
Okay. Yeah. I was off by one.
I think the cav models, they look pretty cool. I mean, besides the horses, but I mean, the thing with
the horses aren't even that bad.
You can always get different horses.
And the leader is definitely about to jump off of that horse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. So.
4-inch reach? 2-inch reach? Even 2 would be all right.
It comes with a regular unit of them, so you can just charge in and then just leap off. And
that's what I was
about to say.
Their mini feat is that you can replace each of them with a normal size, and then they just become normal Daughters of the Flame.
They're going to be called rhinos because they're like you can carry troops inside them.
Yeah. They're Republicans in name only?
No. It's a 40K reference.
It's political.
It's a vehicle.
Gotcha.
Anyhow.
Okay, so that's them. And then...
And
hold
on. They've also been mentioned on the forums that they're Daughters of the Flame. They're not listed as that on the image.
Oh.
Which does matter for theme forces and things.
Yeah, but the Tempest, they're Blazer, they're Flamebringers, which are specifically called out in the Thyra Flame list.
But it allows Fiora to take them in her.
They're also a Protectorate Flame Guard, like
Yeah, they're Flame Guard, but not Daughters of the Flame.
Did you not listen to me at all?
I listened a little bit.
Fiora
can take them.
It's what the things. I understand that what it says doesn't include Daughters of the Flame. Your point is that people are claiming that they are, even though there's no evidence.
Privateer Press. Staffers have come out and said that on the forums.
You gotta be a little bit louder.
You're so quiet. No wonder I don't pay attention.
Yeah, because I'm being serious.
Well,
you're doing your angry face.
When he gets more angry.
Anyhow,
what difference does that make?
So when Travis then starts talking louder, that means I have to readjust him every single time.
Perfect.
Yeah. Damn it.
Makes it easy for you.
So perforators then.
perforators. They have javelin-y, spiky things on one fist, and they got a hooky thing on the other one.
As with all Convergence models, they are the sexiest goddamn things in the world, and agreed. I want to have sex with them so much.
Yes. Not agreed with that.
Yes.
Seems like it would chafe.
I don't care.
No, that's the
medium base infantry.
Good point.
Can come out faster.
Yeah, they're pretty cool looking.
Very nice.
Their lower arms are Their legs are thinner than their arms, which I mean, I know some people have objected to that with the new Trollblood models that have like the little rinky dink legs, but with these guys, it kind of works. It gives them like that hulking, well, like almost gorilla esque appearance.
Yeah, they're basically like Hulk hands for all the.
Retribution
guys.
Convergence.
Guns. I almost said Convergence.
It makes sense.
I meant the Retribution Hulk hands and then the Battle Mages. They all have like big, huge fists.
Well, the thing with Convergence, remember, is that these are the infantry even. Yeah, are robots. Like, these aren't people. Like, they can be built however the hell they want.
Yep, exactly. I mean, you're going to want all the motors in that center area. You're not going to want them toward the edge because that's harder to move them.
And you know, you look at things like, I love the design of Lucant. He's amazing. Like, if you could have a robot body, why wouldn't you have just a couple extra arms? It would come in handy. No reason not to.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
He just, like, went into the shop one day, and he's like, I want some of those, and I want some of those.
Give me a box of the Naked Lady tees, and...
Yeah.
Why doesn't he have boobs?
Wang. Just hey, Wang, that's just a parking lot. You ever seen Caddyshack?
Yes.
Okay, that's a reference to it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just making sure.
Oh. I thought it was a Big Trouble in Little China reference because Wang.
Were they blue?
Yes, movie? He had a blue Wang. No, that was in
Avatar:
The Last Airbender, which is the spin-off television show of Avatar by Michael Bay.
I thought it was Breaking Bad.
Do you know when it's set? Is it before or after?
Travis won't tell me. I don't know if it's a prequel or a sequel. I saw the movie. It's kind of neat because there's other options where you can go. They can go to other planets for an unprobabilium.
It is a prequel and a sequel.
Oh, so it's like a time loop thing.
No time travel.
So it's like the most recent episode of Breaking Bad where it's in the future and...
Nice.
Not episode, season.
It occurs concurrently at the same time.
So it's a...
That'd be the definition of concurrently.
Midquel.
You'll have a special pair of glasses that'll be able to see like one side. It'll block out... So, one half of the screen, the other side will block out the other half.
Deja
of the
screen.
Vu. Block out the whole screen.
So you can watch it. No, just one eye can watch one part of the action. The other eye can watch the other part of the action.
So Denzel Washington did that in Deja Vu and almost crashed.
Yeah.
No, he almost crashed in Flight. That wasn't that. You're thinking of a different Denzel Washington movie. In Flight, he almost crashed because he was drunk, and then they run all the tests.
Did you not see the movie Deja Vu?
Did you not see the movie Flight?
No.
Oh, because that's the whole point of Flight.
I'm aware of
actually,
that.
Actually, the whole point of Flight is in the first 5 minutes, Nadine Velasquez from My Name is Earl is full frontal nudity, and it's the greatest moment in my life. But hypothetically, the plot of the film was
the greatest moment in your life, not...
Yeah, like a kid get born, a marriage, blah, 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 blah. Nadine Velasquez is amazing. And anyone who's seen that scene, or My Name is Earl, or The League will agree with me.
So, in keeping with that subject, the Nis Beast Mistress... And the,
she does not have a nude scene.
And the clothes line, but what? Over her head. Because she's doing laundry, and she doesn't want her clothes to get wrinkly, so she put them out on the line.
Somebody pointed out her bell bottoms, which I approve of.
That's
actually,
cool.
You notice that for a lot of Legion.
Saren and Rias both have bell bottoms.
Yeah, they all have those.
Rias.
R-H-Y-A-S.
I've never heard anyone say it Rias before.
I've said it that way forever.
Rias pieces.
She's peanut buttery in the middle with chocolate on top.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She does deliver the goodness.
Rules-wise, I like the Beast Mistress. Mm-hmm. People were bad-mouthing her. I think she's solid.
I think she's going to be a problem for when we try to incorporate her into...
Who's the Boss?
Into Who's the Boss.
Yes.
We're probably going to have two bankruptcy squares now in Who's the Boss. One where there's going to be some of the other guys and some of the other guys.
Yep,
for all the new journeyman warcasters.
There can be a warcasters one and a warlocks one.
Yeah, we could do that. Yep,
easy way to divide it. But yeah, she's I think she's solid.
Why does she
shredders?
Why does she trigger a Who's the Boss thing? She's not a caster.
She's a
warlock.
A lesser
so they
warlock.
Have a bankruptcy square.
Yeah,
where they basically have a bunch of the lesser. Warlocks.
Wrong Eye and Dahlia and Junior and whatever. And now all of a sudden with her and all the character ones, there's a whole lot more of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Bankrupt needs to either you know, it needs to be adjusted somehow. It needs to split or just stay with the originals for the heck of it or something.
Yep. There's a lot now. You're at, what, 12?
Yeah, so
10 probably, or 12 somewhere in there.
Well, we'll probably do 5 and 5 and then just have one person have to be left out of each section.
Or just, you know, when you roll bankrupt, you just get to pick 3 or 4 of those.
No. I don't want people to pick. Bankruptcy is a, you know, it's bankruptcy.
Yeah, good point.
It's you bad. Get stuck with something technically bad.
I think the bankrupt square is baller.
I think it's pretty damn good, too.
Depending if you're playing War Machine or Hordes.
Yeah, if you're playing War Machine, it's pretty solid. If you're playing Hordes, and unless you have enough beasts.
Yeah, Brunn upkeeping his spell, Stonehold on himself, yeah. And just running around, he's like a manhunter on crack.
You want what's a lot of fun with bankruptcy? With a Shadow Combine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They all get to upkeep their spells for free. So then he's a super duper one.
Mm-hmm. And Puppet Master is good.
Yeah. You got Influence, which is a great spell.
I remember some Legion player killing off his own troops so they could make shredders for the bankruptcy models.
That's really awesome. Funny, too. That's really funny.
Into the bucket you go.
I like her. I think she's a cool model.
She is pretty cool.
Meh.
I actually, because with the clothes on and whatnot, I like back-mounted banners like that. I like all the ones on Scorn. I like Samurai that have those. I just think it's a cool aesthetic.
Pain to transfer, but...
I think it's fine.
It's the least practical war app sort of accoutrement I can think of.
Well, it's actually, if you assume that you need a bannerman anyway, it's the most practical. Because that way your bannerman now has both hands free and can stab the shit out of some people.
Which is useful.
Which is better than literally having to hold your banner.
What the hell is that thing?
The Opti-Fex
That's one
directive.
Of the Opti-Fex directive, oh. The convergence mechanics.
It helps a lot.
Yeah.
Magical
you figure,
weapons, Pathfinders,
hey,
pretty good.
Two units of those hiding behind an Prime Axiom and a Centurion list means that guy's never dying.
Correct.
Ever.
Yes.
I've had good times with that.
Parameter
I plan to continue
nice.
To have... Hmm?
Repair 8 or 9? Repair 8?
Oh,
repair
8.
Nine?
Repair 8.
Is Reconstruct even useful on the Prime Axiom track?
Yeah.
It
Reconstruct's
repair,
amazing.
You can't move him, but he still fully repairs.
Yeah.
Or not fully repairs. You know,
I had it fire 3 times today.
Yeah.
And my Prime Axiom never died.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Every last attack he did on me, was like, oh, last attack for the turn. Killed Prime Axiom. I guess I'll heal more hit points.
You need to kill him with your second to last attack so you can kill him again with your last attack.
He gets like 6 hit points back when you...
Yeah, he does.
It's really hard to kill him again.
6, 5, what?
5, right? Left, right, movement, inductor, and superstructure, right? Yeah, so 5.
Isn't Hull a system?
Hull's not a system. It specifically is called
whatever. It's 5 or 6. I was not counting.
Point is, yeah.
So, oh, wait, what?
Reconstruct, Centurion spell.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yeah, you can use it on the Colossal. It'll repair him, but you can't place him to 3 inches.
You just hexblast that off first, and then don't worry about it.
That is correct. Purification is the right answer.
Yes. Those also,
purification.
Well, if you have purification and your opponent is using Centurion, your opponent deserves to lose.
True.
Resourceful casters do not like purification.
Centurion doesn't need to cast any of his upkeeps except for Synergy. Then he stays out of purification range.
So to continue...
Man, I don't know. Iron Aggression is... Oh, no, that's on Axia. The other one.
Axis.
The Hot Shot is pretty sexy.
You don't need
it. POW 6 isn't very good, so Hot Shot on a Cypher helps out a lot.
Yeah, agreed, but you don't need it.
Need is true. He's not like Magnus.
Correct.
So then the next one is the first expansion for everybody's favorite deck-building game.
High Command.
For High Command.
I'm actually looking forward to see how they do that. Whether it's... the 5 cards all for the same detachment, or if it's for several?
They won't be. They'll be for several detachments. It's
so
already that way.
There's
in the base
6
box.
Colors. There's 21 cards. Yep. So
there's 5 of each card, which is the max number of cards you can ever have in a deck.
There's so are 5 they like 2 red, 1 blue, and
exactly.
2 green, or something like that?
Exactly. Okay. That's
I know.
Because that's how they are currently split in the base game.
Well, how many casters are in that?
There's one caster because there's
okay,
20.
So then it gives you 20 cards.
There's 20 cards. There's 4 sets of 5 cards.
Oh,
that's 20.
So, yeah.
There's 4 new cards for each faction.
That's
and each card you get
5 copies of, which is
and
of different detachments.
So there's one of each color then?
Not necessarily.
How many different colors are there?
6.
There's
6 colors, and not every card goes into each color. So like the Bane Thralls might be in red and purple. But not in anything else.
But,
right.
So you get that sort of thing.
It should help the game a lot. Because right now you have some detachments where you just don't want one card in it. Yeah. You can switch that,
you can
out.
Switch that one card out. Yeah. All I know is right now is
one
that
or two
I
cards, exactly.
After the two total games, so you don't have to listen to me, but Kador's Jack should all be one victory point. Juggernauts don't need to be two victory points. They're already amazing.
Probably.
They're good, but I mean, Kador isn't unstoppable. You just need
they're pretty damn
put out
good.
Six power.
Pretty much everyone I've talked to agrees that Kador is the best of the War Machine factions. And if they're the best by universal agreement, then they probably need a slight adjustment. And to me, that seems the most obvious.
I think it's a little premature right now.
Well, it is. It is definitely premature.
Yes, at least with the base box. I mean, I think that there'll probably be some equal. It'll get more equal as they release more stuff.
Like, Protectorate seems not good right now.
I think that's people are still trying to figure them out.
Difficult.
I
think they're
haven't
hard.
Figured out what to do with them.
Yeah. I can't get my head around it. Kador was just like, all right, just put stuff out there and it wins.
I play red, blue, purple and win.
Yep.
We all agree that Circle's good, though, right?
Circle's fantastic. Yeah. Yes. You play, what, red, blue, purple on that, too?
No. I played purple, blue, yellow, I think. Purple, blue, yellow.
Yeah. It's
I think.
One of the blues and then something else.
Yeah. But you get a lot of ferals and you win.
I think what we're seeing here is that our waveform is not properly large enough. Mine appears to be just fine.
Danny has a very small waveform.
I'm too quiet, so I'll
yes,
work
you
on
are.
That. I'm sorry.
By the way, this podcast is being brought to you by Puffs Kleenex or whatever it is, the facial tissue. Poor Danny here is having one hell of a time with the Loki cat, and her pet-type dander. This is episode 39 of Crippled System. I'm Menoth John. Okay, I'm sorry. I just am not feeling the mojo tonight, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not my usual self.
We did the
Can
repeat
your
intro.
Mojo?
Please do.
No, I can't breathe out of my nose. That's the issue.
No. Sorry. Well,
no, that's fine.
Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. To go back to learning new things about War Machine today, I learned today that Witch Hound is a thing, and it's very annoying when you have Scavarus and you're trying to play to use telekinesis on your opponent or do anything to your opponent.
You can TK their Jack back an inch.
Yeah, I 2 inches.
Yeah, there you go. He's teleport. There you go. You TK him back 2 inches, and then, okay, Witch Hound's forward, what, like 5 inches?
Yeah.
So, you know.
And so, Matt -3.
So he's 7 inches back. No, 2 plus 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It works
that
way.
Kind of the best thing about that list is the fact that it's the list my Resnick with the Scourge and Devout and Revenger and the Avatar, is that it just finds a way to get the Scourge up one more activation, and then death falls upon those who are in his path.
So they're talking about the 25-point Mangle Metal Convergence event that Nathan ran, in which Menoth John played Protectorate.
Yes.
Andy played Crix. I played Convergence. And Danny played Circle Ouroboros.
That is true. They are.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we're... Everyone's on the same page.
So if anybody here is listening is going to run one of those, I have a couple tidbits of advice for you.
Listen up. These next few minutes are fucking important.
Yeah, no, there's these release events tend to have issues. They're not as well balanced as Steamroller.
They're casual.
They're casual, but they're casual events with prize support, which means people play to win. And it's hard, you know, when you have a casual thing that then is being played seriously, you sometimes have issues. So you have to polish it. Like, the Domination event was horrific because the whole idea was you had this bottleneck and you forced the conflict to the bottleneck and you had to break through and then you got victory points for being on the other side.
Except
and
Legion
then
could fly over the bottleneck.
Legion just brought 20 Harriers and flew across on the sides and won every round and literally could not lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or usually whoever went first in that one.
Yeah, because you just barricade them.
Because you could just blockade the person from getting through there. Yeah. And there's also three large base models in the center there, too, on each side, isn't it?
Yeah, there's
Let's just for a moment explore the myriad of issues with the COC release event.
Sure.
So let's start off talking about terrain. So let's talk about some of the issues that can possibly pop up with the standard terrain rules in that pack.
So we saw that ahead of time and adjusted it down because the scenario rules basically have 9 sections. You decide the terrain for the 3 on your side of the table, your opponent decides 3 for their side of the table, and then you each decide one of the 3 in the middle, and then the last remaining one has the arc node. But the issue is that when you get to put the terrain on your own side of the table, you end up with Harbinger hiding behind a forest and being a bitch all game or correct. Something equally awful.
It's yep. just any it's just, spellcaster, well, Haley, Harbinger,
oh, yeah. Haley. The scenario
like
doesn't
Haley.
Yeah,
the scenario doesn't have any kind of kill box either.
There is no scenario. It's yeah. caster kill.
You have yeah, to kill the caster
so
to win.
There's issue two.
That is exactly issue two. Which, you run into, and Danny and I ran into that in our game.
Oh, my God.
It turned into Ring Around the Rosie. The Harbinger with 10 focus was chasing Mosar all over the table.
I had two heavies in play. Like, but I wasn't getting Curse of Shavels to hit you, so I couldn't go in. And you just sat there with 10 focus.
Until I decided, well, this is dumb. I went up and killed a wolf and then died.
War Machine needs scenarios because going for caster kill is awful.
Yep.
And this, unfortunately, does not have a scenario.
Correct.
I think there was a simple addition of Killbox might actually help a lot.
I think a Once Upon a Time, you could play War Machine just as strict caster kill. There was a time you could actually do that. That time is so far gone.
Well, I don't even know.
Haley and Long Gunners always existed.
Just think of what Prime had in it. Good you had point. Sorsha, you had Krios, and you had Haley, and or Haley, Sorsha, Denegra, and Krios yeah. all in the base box.
Yeah.
Those four casters win games without your opponent being able to do anything.
Good point. Yeah. Yep. Good point.
I mean, you need something like so. Killbox alone might be a big help.
So terrain we talked about. We talked about the lack of actual scenario going on here.
Well, the power node was nice.
The other thing you could do cool. too, and this would actually make it dangerous in my opinion. You can make it so the power node actually acts as a control point where you have to go and try to dominate it or control that control neat. Point. Yeah. And yeah. at the same time, it's also the most dangerous thing to you.
Because
it's an arc node.
It could be completely indestructible. Like, yeah. completely indestructible, you know, and make it a control point, like mm-hmm. a normal objective with yep. the standard rules.
One
and,
to control, two to dominate, or something yeah. like that.
Yep.
Like, you could do that. I mean, then at least there's an actual scenario to it. That. Also, standard mangled metal rules. They should
yes.
be in there.
Yes, they should be.
Yeah, when all your jacks and beasts are dead, you lose. There's no reason for that not to be in there.
I completely yeah. agree.
Again, no, I think most people are out of fun. I'm not pooping on it. I'm just saying these are minor tweaks that I think could really make the... If anybody out there is going to run an event might want to think about these to really smooth it out.
Go ahead.
So our tweak for the train was... Nate deployed the train for each side.
The outer edges, yep. We just kept the middle strip so that each game you play one piece of terrain each and then the power node. So just the middle strip. So it really sped things up.
It sped things up and kept the terrain from being overpowered for various casters. Yeah.
I was a bit of a dick with the terrain. I had water on a lot of tables.
Yep.
But whatever.
I actually didn't even touch my terrain every single game I played.
I think several people
did that.
Just sat down and just played. I didn't even
Brian
care.
Sat at the same table for like six games in a row and it stayed the same. Like his opponent's down, Brian's like, I'm cool with the terrain like this. And his opponent be like, okay, me too. So, yeah.
yep.
I mean,
my table is the same way.
I think the other thing to talk about as far as preventing negative play experiences for people in this type of a format is come to the game and play a game. Don't come to the game so that you can quit. Because this game is taking too long, therefore I'm going to walk away from it.
There's a point, though, if you are down on jacks.
Then run forward and lose.
I understand.
Like that.
But there is a negative play experience from that as well.
That's true. Although I would point out, I could, if you want to be a stickler, the rules say you get a point for playing a complete game.
So one could argue
that if you concede, you did not play a complete game and thus don't get the point. Like, if you really wanted to cut that out. There was only, to my knowledge, one flat-out, this is taking too long, I concede.
Mm-hmm. I had a guy concede, but he was...
That was, like, literally the last game, and he was fucked.
Yeah, he was dead.
Yeah.
And in the other case where the person conceded, literally no models had left the table yet.
Yeah.
And they decided that it was taking too long and that they just wanted to move on to the next game. And I was like, well... I'm sure glad that, well, I guess I'm going to reveal the fact that I was involved in it. I drove 2 hours to get to play in this thing.
Yeah.
I came to have fun playing games with new people I haven't played before and to see my friends from Madison. And, you know, I almost felt like saying, could I have my gas money back?
Right. Yeah, it's it is a thing because the more games you play, the more points you're going to get by definition. And so some people who really want to crush the system that way are going to be like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Although flip side, as far as playing lots of games, is the other big note takeaway that I took from today is that this event doesn't need to go more than 5 hours.
Oh, no, God.
Like, at the 25-point level, like, we had started 11. It was going to be last game must start by 5. Everyone was done at 3:30. Like, at 3:30, everyone was like, I've played enough War Machine. And so the last game wrapped up by 4, and we were done, and everybody was satisfied. Because by that point, like, literally, at 12:30, we'd been playing for an hour and a half, and several people had 4 games under their belt.
I was already at 4 by then.
Yeah, 25 points goes really quickly.
And it's made of metal, so you only have, like, 5 models.
Yeah.
You have to realize that the game's winning doesn't matter. If you win the game, sure, it helps, but it doesn't do anything for you. It's faster to try to do an objective. Well, I'm going to arc spells through this power node 5 times. Okay, now I rush up their caster and try to win. If I lose, I lose. Whatever. Right. So,
I almost like it if it was head scoring kind of similar to Who's the Boss, where you wouldn't actually get more points for winning your games after that. Where you get a point for just winning a game.
Yeah.
But it would be even more, because then there's literally no reason to keep trying.
Yeah,
because
concessions happen more. Play, lose.
Like, unless, just have your Colossal kill your caster top of one every game, just so you can play as many games as possible. If literally there's no point to winning.
It comes down to, at that point, you need to institute the Iron Arena. You can only report X number of games in a period of time.
Yep.
Right.
Because
that
prevents exactly that. Concessions don't matter. Because if you can only report a game every 30 minutes, now you're limited to, okay, if half hour goes by, then they concede. But it stops the 15 minutes concede, 15 minutes concede, 15 minutes concede.
I mean, flip side. Oh, I mean, I guess because it's so fast. I mean,
the games don't take longer than 45 minutes.
Right.
But
they really don't.
One could argue that at that point you might as well just have rounds.
And play Death Clock.
Have rounds, play Death Clock, and still have the achievements.
But again, that's taking to more competitive nature at that point versus the casual.
In the casual event.
That is true.
That's the issue. It works. It works pretty well for Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
But that's people going
to Who's the Boss with a different...
I'm a little torn about the fact that this is a release event and the casual thing, and here we are having this discussion on with all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I think all we're trying to say here is that try to, as best you can, to weed out the negative play experiences from...
Just have fun.
Yeah, I mean... The shinies are shiny and beautiful. There's no two ways about it. These are some of the coolest release event medals I've ever seen. And it drives some awfully weird-ass behaviors because of it.
And the various powers that your Warbees had were really thematic, and they were cool.
And I will say this, too. You know, as much as we've mentioned as bad, 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 or whatever, the... Brian, who's not here right now, games the shit out of events like this. Like, it is his reason for existence. If you give, and he'll admit it full-fledged. If you give him an event with weird scoring mechanics like this,
he will break it
wide, wide open. Yeah. So he broke this as hard as he could, and he won by 2 points total.
Correct.
36-34.
God, I thought he was beating the piss
out of
the system.
And that's the thing. It's like people were grumbling, like, oh, this is the thing, and it's blah, 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 and he's gaming the system, and Brian's this and that and the other. And he won by two total points. Like, it's not – even with the hyper-competitive breaking the system style and something else, he was having a lot of fun. Yeah. Like, he wasn't –
I had a genuinely good
just,
time playing against
he
him.
He wasn't – and I that's the thing. It's not like the system is broken when somebody's a hyper-competitive shithead and they ruin everything. Like – you can still have fun. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think the grind out a million things is necessarily broken, but it's just something to keep in mind. That's almost more as a player. Like, I kept warning players, play quickly. You know, if you win one game in an hour, that's way worse than losing 3 games, because that's 2 points instead of 3.
Correct.
You know, just page 5 it up, go for it. Because in the very first round, Jeremy's first opponent ran and hid in the corner because they were scared of Jeremy's army. It's like, this game's going to take 2 hours, and you're still going to lose.
Yeah, like, and it's just not going to be fair to either of you.
Killbox would be a big deal.
Yeah, I think Killbox would be a big
deal.
So, but the time, as a TO, I'd say the time is the big thing. The terrain thing is abusable. Maybe depending on your players, you might not have to do that, but it is abusable. I would either do what I did, where set up the auto rungs, or another thing I said is you can have people set up the table before deployment roll, so they don't know what side of the table they're getting.
That'd fix a lot of things.
So then they can't just make one side Fort Awesome, because they might not get Fort Awesome.
Yep.
Definitely have the event be short. Like, people are not going to... You're going to play... We played for 4.5 hours, and there were people with 8 to 10 games under their belt.
On average, there are only 8 games.
Yeah, and that, yeah, that wasn't like one or two outliers. Like everybody had more than six. Like it was the game was blang 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 blang. And then the this again depends on your people. The painting prize is an auction for best painted army. Some people might want to do a raffle or something like that. I would actually what I wish I had done both to make sure more people brought one and to make sure people didn't just spray paint a soda can and glue it to a CD. Not that two podcast members did exactly that.
Copyright, Jeremy.
One guy glued a ball to the top and painted it gold with a very large brush.
And the other guy glued a rock to the top.
Yep.
Anyway, so to prevent people from giving you a CD with a soda can on top of it is have the painting prize be a vote for the best power node. I think that's what I would have done if I had thought about it before the event.
Yeah, I like that. I agree with that entirely.
Yep. I like that.
There were some cool power notes, too. There were people put real effort into it.
There was that pendulum?
Yeah, Malachi's dad made a big clock with, like, an actual pendulum and everything. It wasn't powered to keep swinging, but it was loose, so you could flick it, and it would swing for, you know, 10 to 15
seconds. Which is good. You don't want something constantly swinging on your
There was the steampunk penis.
Steampunk penis?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was the largest one.
Travis had a corn silo that was about 2 feet tall.
16 inches.
16-inch corn silo. Now look at Travis. He knows exactly how tall his thing is.
We had discussions when I was building it if I made it too tall.
Yeah. Well, you can never have too big of a thing. Andy broke a trophy and a Signar terrain piece and glued them together.
Nice.
Well, one of the War Machine Weekend trophies, too.
Yeah.
With a Gale Force 9 terrain that you can't get anymore.
Well, no, it actually didn't break. I just hot glued
it on top.
Yeah, hot glued them together.
Yeah, you can rip that apart whenever you want.
It's already apart.
I thought you already took it off at the end of the
You did. Yeah, you ripped it apart at the end. So I'm pulling it apart.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was kind of neat.
Well, I have a better idea.
Is the trophy salvageable?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, they're both salvageable.
Yeah, actually, the trophy
just comes off so easily. The problem with the trophy is when
he assembled it, it was assembled so poorly that it just the whole gear on top just broke off.
Oh yeah,
whatever it was glued onto just came right off. So yeah, it was okay.
When I tore Brian's power node apart, it was full of caulk and glue that reeked of death and chemicals. It was astounding.
And you brought it next to my minis. I was not appreciatory of that.
Yeah, you were asking everyone to smell it.
Oh, my God. I was getting high just from holding it. It was
The death of brain cells might convey a sense of high.
I
not realizing that you're dying.
Euphoric just before the end.
Yeah.
It's like people who freeze to death feel warm at the end.
Yeah. Exploding into a kaleidoscope of colors, and then you just pass out. Never to wake up again.
That's about what was happening, yeah.
Yeah.
The achievement for 3 heavy war beasts dying in a turn was actually quite difficult.
Yes. I thought about it was a suggestion somebody mentioned partway through the event. A good thing that might be worth doing is have a colossal count as 2 heavies for the purposes of that achievement.
That would balance it a lot because
it's still really hard to do.
Every opponent that sits down across from you has a colossal and a heavy and a caster, you're never gonna get it.
Yeah.
Never gonna get it.
Thank you for thinking that.
Yeah.
Travis had to teach me how to do it, so then I did it, and then I won the game.
Also, the 3 collateral damage, I would do 2 things with that.
Kill your own
number
friendlies.
My 2 adjustments I would make is make it enemy and make it damage 3 or more models with a single power attack.
Sure.
Specifying collateral, then sweep can hit 3 things. Yep. If you slam 1 guy over 2 guys,
into 2 guys,
having
or
to get 3. Collateral specifically is
and you could do it to your own models too,
and that was the other stupidity. So I would make it easier to do by making it damage 3 with a single power attack, and then make it enemy only.
Yep.
Not because a double handed throw then becomes awesome.
Well, that hits 2 of them. Yeah,
but you can generate the 3rd pretty easily because people clump
hypothetically.
Up a lot.
Yep.
I did have Deathjack walk up to 2 Reckoners from full health and just obliterate both of them. And I still had 3 focus left over on Deathjack.
That's a fun day, isn't it?
Holy cow.
With Gorshade, with Dark Shroud?
That was Gorshade. Dark Shroud, and I also had the Curse of Shadows on him.
Nice.
From the ability. So he was
negative. Attack.
Krix had one of those. Yeah.
So it was negative 4 to everyone's armor running into Deathjack.
They gave him Curse of Shadows on his claw.
Claws.
It was Curse of Shadows on one of the models. Upgrades. Yep. So it was pile 22.
So, oh my god.
Well, the flip side was one of the Scorn ones is the -2 strength debuff around a Titan. So Brian was running it with Reshef. So it was this -4 debuff monster.
Sucked.
That's, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I never want to play Protector without a choir ever again. Just right. letting you all know.
However, Defender's Ward twice on it.
I never ran that list.
You can't do Defender's Ward twice.
You can't have two same names.
It's the same name.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't cast it and have a have the Jack have
the ability is called Defender's Ward.
It's called the same name. Yep. Just like Signar has Snipe. You can't give it Snipe as well.
However, although, two Jacks with Defender's Ward's really nice.
If, for example, a Power Node had an ability called Amplifier, you could have two and then separate. A Warjack an ability called Extended Control Range, those stack.
It's quadruple. You don't need to measure the control range.
You can't do
you do. You can't quite corner to corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like from corner tip to corner tip is like 60 inches.
I never ran that list.
And a Focus 4 ends up being like 56, so you can't quite corner to corner with your Stalkers, but it's close.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I found that out last round.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I reminded people, but a lot of people didn't notice, the Amplifier ability on the Power Nodes is something you should be aware of. Yeah. Although, if Killbox was in state, it would be less of an issue.
Or it could be better, because you could flank with stuff.
Yeah. So, hopefully, either Travis or Danny's going to run one of these in a couple weeks, and hopefully they take some of these to heart. Because I'm looking forward to playing in one, but not if this annoying crap's still in it.
You going to play Convergence?
Yeah.
Good.
Can I play my Reflex Servitors?
Will they be out?
Will they be released?
Because you didn't let me.
I know I didn't let you. They weren't released.
They're released? Yeah.
Although I looked at those because I was curious about the wording of it, and it says you cannot enter an event. You cannot bring a model that isn't released.
Yes, John, you did get cheated against. You could not. He could only bring a Tournament Servitors in.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody with a Prime Axiom was using it to spit out servitors that aren't general availability yet.
Yes.
We'll have to yell at him.
Well, yeah.
Oh, we did yell at him because he looked very nervous when I was talking about DQing him. He looked really nervous.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, though.
I'm sure he never would have built a list with a model that wasn't released yet. He just wasn't thinking about the fact that he was pooping out models that weren't released.
Yeah.
I honestly think that was just a durr, not an
app. I think honestly, it's kind of hard to figure out with Convergence because they have so many street date, or they have just a standard street date, but they've been pre-released twice now, almost three times now.
For instance, OptiFex Directive just went on the release list. They were out at Gen Con. They're coming out in December.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You didn't notice that?
I can't use... Oh,
no. No, you can't use them at all.
Attorney until December?
No.
Yeah.
But I like them so much.
Exactly.
I know. They're good.
Where's my corollary?
2014?
Oh, God. I love the corollary.
Yeah, the Focus Dumpster's really good.
I mean, that Jack might be takeable in the occasional list.
Only every other one.
In the same kind of frequency that maybe the Squire gets brought to the party?
I mean, it's only like the Squire, but better.
Yeah, it's just strictly better.
It costs more.
True.
It lives longer.
So we're running kind of close here, close to about an hour. If you guys want to do some Zappity Grumble, then go ahead and go to do our recommendations.
I think that'd be awesome.
Because we got to go watch an episode of the Avatar show.
Yep.
In this episode, Jake Sully.
If I could project this die through your skull at a very rapid speed.
It's like Magneto?
Yes.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool with the coin.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Awesome. You do that with a die, that'd be funny.
I'm going to count to three, and then the die's just levitating towards Kevin Bacon.
I could just control plastic. Well, this is no fun.
Actually, if you could control plastic, that might be a lot of fun. Depends if you can control the base materials that make plastic.
Nope, plastic.
Just plastic.
You might be able to lift some cars up.
And only a certain type.
Oh, that'd be bad. Yeah, that'd be bad.
I don't know. If you could only control dice, you would still be a billionaire.
Casinos.
Yeah. Just go to casino, bet 20,000, win, buy, and then you go to the next casino.
And just keep doing that.
That bothers me is why don't Jedi's gamble?
It's against their moral code.
They did but in they the did first anyway. Episode.
Bullshit. Yeah.
They did in episode one.
I am aware. Yeah. I am aware.
What I don't... I know this is in the Red Letter Media thing, but he says, why don't we try one of this... We'll try this place first. First, implying that there are multiple options. Then they go in there, and the owner's like, I'm immune to Jedi skills. And he's like, okay, bye, and goes to another one. That's what you fucking do. You go to the next shop down the road and then go mind meld, and then you leave the planet.
Why are you merging Star Trek and Star Wars?
Star Wars. What? What are you talking about?
Meld is not in Star Wars.
What?
Mind trick. Whatever.
Shut up.
Mind trick?
The point is...
Shrek?
Well, just don't go to Watto's place.
Ain't nobody don't like a parfait.
You know, it's not like they said, oh, geez, this is the only place. It sure sucks that he's immune to mind melding. No.
And he has the greatest evil in the universe attached to him as a slave.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, why was he a flying space Jew? Like, that was just offensive.
He had a really big nose, too.
Oh, my God.
Which was not in the least offensive.
And the Chinaman aliens that were embargoing, that were blockading Naboo, which, by the way, should have been Alderaan, because then I would have given a shit. Yes.
What's wrong with your face?
Oh, my God.
So how about that Star Trek movie?
What's wrong
the
with your
face?
The first
one? I like the first one a lot.
Zap, should we be doing the thing?
Yeah, we were supposed to do things.
Yeah.
Seriously, Lucas, stop having your aliens be racist.
Can we just ask him to stop?
We have Lucas isn't in charge of it anymore.
All right. Oh, my God. It's so bad, though.
All right, let me put this up here. First one here, so from Philip Guay, G-U-A-Y. Freebooter, good or bad?
Awful.
Shit. Best Jack ever.
Worst pile of fuck in the fuck.
It's actually pretty good in the IKRPG.
Yeah, well, it's awful. You know what would make it good? There's either make it 5 points.
Sure.
Make Jury Rig not cost a focus, so you're just burning movement.
Sure.
Or use it to bludgeon your opponent to death and then win by default. Those are the three ways that you could make
it's,
it useful.
It's a good sock jack.
The third option is probably the best for it.
Yeah, I think sock jack is pretty good.
What makes a freebooter good is increasing its armor by a significant margin and giving it inherent reach.
No. Is using the parts of the freebooter to make a nomad.
Nomad.
That, yes.
That's the, another good use of the freebooter.
Well, that's the same thing, essentially.
Zeppity.
Bloop. Grumble!
Jason Coates, what is the best scoring caster to start with?
Scorn. I thought it said scoring.
That's what I said too.
I'm sorry, Hexorus Scorn.
2. To start with.
To start with, I don't know.
Hexorus 2's got a lot of just toolbox.
I don't know scoring.
I'm going to say Morgul 1.
I was
going to
say, nothing
because
wrong with Morgul 1.
I was going to say Morgul 1 because you can get into a really healthy list for just buying some heavies. Him and some support, and you've got yourself a very viable list that's pretty straightforward to run.
He's fairly dangerous on his own, mm-hmm. and he's hard to kill, so mm-hmm. that helps a newer player quite a bit.
That was like almost a serious response.
As a newer player, if you just keep admonition on Morgul himself, it protects you from screwing up and losing games. Once you get better, you learn to put admonition onto your beasts and whatnot, but I think he's a very forgiving, viably good starting Warlock.
They're not very short, Zappity.
Zappity!
Grumble. These are not very short, Zappity.
Faster,
questions.
Faster!
That's what I'm trying to
faster!
Do. Excited about
faster!
Excited about faster! Whatever.
Jake Sully!
Welcome to episode 39 of Crippled System. I'm Menoth John.
What are good units to take with Strakoff if you're facing Axis, the Harmonic Enforcer?
That's an oddly specific question.
Yeah, I don't know. Pikeman.
Pikeman or something high armor, like maybe a shock dresser.
Kadoran units you bring to a tournament?
Yeah, Chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. Some Winter Guard Chaos.
Sure, it's minus 2 def, but if they're def 15, it's to 13, and it still needs sixes to hit.
If Chaos can kill stroke and get through and get base to base with his jacks, then they don't get to countercharge anything.
The thing is that when you're playing against Axis, there's one of two things that are happening to you. You're either being charged by his feet.
Yeah.
Or you're being prevented from charging by his feet.
Right.
Yep. That's all you get.
Yeah.
And you get one of the two. Or you're charging in and getting countercharged.
I'm not sure about being Strakoff against Axis anyway.
I don't think I'll take him anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. If he pops his feet, you back up.
Yeah. And you don't get countercharged.
You don't get countercharged. And then you pop your feet and you charge from way the fuck downtown.
And
done.
As long as you have.
Yeah.
Sorsha. Sorsha 1.
Like, the unit I would bring would be Sorsha.
You Windrush, get countercharged, I guess I feet now, and your army gets locked down. I don't know, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Or Sorsha 2.
What do you guys think about Mage Wars?
It's interesting. I went and looked at it at Gen Con. I like the fact that you have the binder that you're choosing your spell list from. But I haven't actually played a game of it yet, so I can't really say whether or not.
Anybody who likes High Command should look into it, because it's that same style of, like, people keep calling High Command a deck-building game, but it's not like Dominion or one of those as much. It's Mage Wars is like the High Command in that you have options before the game that you build your deck out of and then play your game with it.
And I like that fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never played Mage Wars, so I can't.
I'm in the same boat. Answer.
I know. Brian has been trying to pick it up, but yeah. We just haven't played it yet. So,
I was starting to browbeat Brian into buying it because it was one of those games that I wanted to be able to play whenever I wanted to, but didn't want to spend $100 on. But I've gotten two or three other games out of Brian, so I'm going to pull back for a second.
We should make peace, not Mage War.
Mage
Very nice.
Peace.
Very nice, Andy. Very nice.
You killed yourself on that one, didn't you?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It's like that popped in my head. I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta say this.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I beat you to it.
It's fine. I was letting other people have some fun.
I guess Zappity.
I'm always the grumble, so.
Yeah.
What High Command faction is the most played? Why no Kador love? I think we just talked about that.
Why no Kador love? What Kador kind of crack are you Circle smoking?
Kador and Boros are probably the two most heavily played factions.
Yeah. Kador's amazing.
I like Trollbloods because I like Trollbloods. Yeah. Done.
But I like Circle because I play Circle.
Lucky for you, they happen to also be amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, that was not the intended effect. Well, if they were garbage, I would have still played them.
Tie in the last episode. When Andy first talked me into actually playing Blood Bowl, I just randomly bought a team based on one of my favorite thematic things, and I'm like, I really like rats. So I bought a rat army. Turns out they're fucking amazing. Like,
yeah, and that happens once in a while.
Yep. And Kator has to be good because they suck in tournaments.
Yeah. It's just weird that they're actually Juggernaut. Like, I used Juggernaut, so it was confusing to me. Yeah. I've never used Warjax as Kator.
See, and I think that's the coolest thing about High Command is actually everything has purpose in High Command versus everything sort of being some things being outshadowed in War Machine.
That's interesting. So they probably recognize some of the problems, and maybe that foreshadows something interesting happening in the future. We can only hope. No, anyway,
Zap Mark III. No Mark III.
Grumble. Bringing blank, this is from Tyler Stoney,
welcome to episode 39.
Yep, bringing blank bases to mark with expo markers to Afghanistan to play War Machine with, a good idea or the best idea? I'd say it's pretty good.
I think it's a hell of an idea.
I like it.
It's a good idea. It's a very good idea.
Congrats, you can now play War Machine without having to bring all those models.
Totally awesome idea.
And you can play every faction.
And as I've said in previous things, like as a gamer, that's good enough for me.
Yep. Yeah, with Warum, you can play any of the factions.
Yeah.
That was the cool thing, though, too, is I didn't do a lot of... I did serve in the military, and when I went to some of the training missions, a lot of times that was... What kept me going is doing something else other than what I was, you know.
Also, depending on, like, I don't know the details of the availability of it, but they're depending on the access you have to a computer on a normal day-to-day basis as your own personal entertainment device is Vassal exists.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll allow you to play against a bunch of different people.
Yeah. And, you know, and you can talk smack all you like about War Room. It's an excellent device for Vassal or for... Yeah, empty base machine.
It's casual play.
As a card reference,
fantastic.
It's fine.
It's a card reference. And good for actually casual play. Running on iPads or some kind of tablet device.
Yeah, it's actually great on a tablet.
Tablets really are fantastic with it. It's
great they've made some major improvements.
Yeah, I don't like using it other than as a card reference on my phone.
Yeah, on the phone, it's just terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible to run with actually, you know, marking down damage. But as a good card reference, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait.
Zappity.
Grumble.
It's like a half mile away.
Any idea what the best hotel is near Misty Mountain for the October 5th event?
Oh, that's Professor Lust. He PM'd me on the Muse on Minis boards that same question, and I never answered him. Sorry.
So we don't answer
them.
I'm going to recommend the Concourse in downtown Madison because it's the only hotel I know in Madison. It's a long ways from the game store.
Yeah. I actually don't know of any hotels in that area.
My thing would be to put in the address into something like Expedia or something. And
there's a couple places around. I mean, there really isn't a specific hotel nearby. I just double check some.
I would recommend asking John Damaris or any of the Muse crew because they seem to have excellent times picking out hotels.
If you're not allergic to cats, I have a couch.
I have a couch, two recliners, and a guest bedroom. So if you're somebody that I've interacted with, so PM me, and I'll either say, yeah, you're somebody I think's cool, or I'll say, oops, sorry, it's already taken.
Or
and
you'll just ignore them?
Oh, actually, yeah, these are both lies. PM me and I will just ignore the PM because I'm the worst person ever at responding to emails and private messages.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
Well, what happened is, like,
no,
he PM'd me.
No, I don't even
want to
hear
the specifics of why are good.
Don't
no,
even want to hear
I'm
it.
Not defending myself. Is my phone
like
went off. Mr. Torg was like, this message is irrelevant.
Yep.
So right there. So I look at it, it's a pop-up, and it was my Gmail popping up with an alert, and then it said, hey, you've received a Muse on Minis message, and this person wants to know. And I'm like, oh, okay, I should go to Muse and check that. So now every time I go to the Muse website, I see the one up above my private messages, but since I know what it is, I don't click to check it. And so it just sits there and taunts me. It's like, you have this message, and you know what the message is.
You're a terrible person.
I'm so bad about it, too. I'm so bad at communicating with
Zappity.
People. Grumble.
Rumble.
Zappity.
Much better.
Yeah. Crippled System inherits the Mystery Machine. Who is from the original Scooby Gang?
Oh, Jeremy's Scrappy Doo. I mean, who the fuck are we kidding?
Yeah. Because you always want to punch him right square in the
God
dick.
Damn.
Yeah.
Fucking.
So.
I think it's a Who's Shaggy?
Katie's. Wanda?
Wanda?
No. Velma the two girls.
Oh, well, yeah.
Velma.
So,
who's
no,
Wanda?
Katie would be Daphne.
I didn't
we'll
say
give
Wanda.
Katie to being the sexy girl. So Katie can be Daphne.
Sure.
No. The other one's way hotter.
That's
you,
true. She does
yeah
have the hot nerd thing going.
Are
hell
you,
yes.
Are you, Nathan, are you Velma?
I can be Velma. This is harder than the
Velma.
Toon Patrol. We couldn't even figure out who we were in the Toon Patrol, and now you want us to figure out who we are in the Scooby Gang?
I probably think I'd be closer to Shaggy. Maybe. I said it because I wanted me to be it. I want to be Shaggy.
Okay, you can be Shaggy.
Yeah. All
right, you got Shaggy.
I'll be the dirty hippie.
You can be the dirty hippie. Yeah. Jeremy can be Scooby-Doo because he's an idiot who eats dog food.
No. Malcolm can be Scooby-Doo. And Jeremy can be Scrappy.
Oh. Travis just showed me Rule 34 for Velma. And, I mean, I'd hit her.
I'd hit that for sure.
I would hit that for sure. I'd hit that like the Forest Moon of Endor.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think I mixed two memes.
Just completely
hit that like
no,
a tree in the Forest Moon Endor.
That might have been the meme I was trying to reference. I don't know. I'm so drunk.
That was such a you haven't touched a drop.
Drunk with power.
So Brian is Fred. Then is that?
Yes, I guess Brian's Fred. Just
okay
out of sheer. He wears ascots.
We
all
need
the time
to make him
you
wear
can't ascot. See. You can't see.
Other
on the
than
podcast
you getting to be Shaggy, this was the worst question ever.
Yeah, pretty
we
much.
We need to get Brian an ascot and make him wear it at tournaments.
And he's only Shaggy because it's a pun. Because he's actually Shaggy.
Well, yeah.
You're nothing like him personality-wise. You don't smoke nearly as much marijuana.
No. Or have the munchies all
the
time.
Yeah, I was going to say, do I look like I need another excuse to smoke?
Doink, Scoobs! Like, I can't believe it was old man Willikers the whole time! Zoinks! Zappity!
Rumble!
Rumble! You had to be
Rumble!
God,
sorry, my bad.
I was setting you up to be Scooby!
Yeah. Commander Zirkova, how to make her playable.
Get Arc Nodes and Kador.
Listen to Muse on Minis.
And don't ask that to Muse on Minis.
Or play her second theme force, in which you can take Vanguards and Gorman to Wolf.
It's pretty good.
Vanguards and Gorman are good.
Yeah, I mean, she does suffer kind of like how Crix suffers with casters, that they're surrounded by so many good casters.
She's not a bad caster. She's just not a great caster.
That she's, kind of lost in the mix.
That's the issue.
Yeah,
she's a good
decent
caster.
She's a, and, well, what she does is she's a pretty solid Crix caster in the wrong faction.
Crix would love her.
Yeah.
Crix would love her all day.
And that's the thing is, if she had Arc Node, she'd be pretty solid.
Crix would love her a long time.
I wish that her second theme force, like the tier 4 benefit, she could pick one of those Vanguards to be an Arc Node.
That'd
or
be cool.
Or get a Renegade.
That'd be sweet.
Even
that
the
would,
faulty Arc Node would be good.
Renegades,
anyway.
Though, Magnus.
Renegades
thing.
Don't even have faulty anymore.
Oh, it's not faulty
they're
anymore?
Not faulty anymore. They're just faulty.
They're also Magnus.
That's their
thing.
Magnus only thing.
Yeah.
I mean, just make. They were already giving her the Vanguards. Just have one of the Vanguards
give
be
her
an
Arc
Node.
Yeah, give the Arc Node. That'd be cool.
Or a Toro.
So, yeah, there you go.
I would love the Toro to come out because they put it in the new IKRPG book.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Can't wait.
Play her in the Convergence launch event and she has an Arc Node then.
Yeah, she does.
I think. Rick was saying he didn't play her yet. He wanted to play Zirkova.
Well, okay. I'm dreading the next question, but somebody has to finish up the old one.
Zappity!
The next question is, why is The Big Bang Theory a bad show?
Why? I don't know. It's because there is no Justin loving God.
Two
but
words.
It's definitely a bad fucking show.
Two words. Laugh track.
Laugh track. Stupid, shitty, forced catchphrases. Jokes that aren't jokes. Like I saw
they also put down female nerds. Female
they, it's very misogynistic. Yeah. Well, because that whole Reddit crew is very misogynistic. Like, when you think about it, like, now I'm getting a little more serious about it, but, like, friendzone is the most sexist, misogynistic thing in the world. You know, it's like, just because you're nice to a girl and you wear a stupid fedora doesn't mean she has to suck your dick. If she doesn't want you, you weren't friendzoned. She's just not interested in you. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God damn it. As somebody put, I heard, women aren't a vending machine that you put kindness coins in until a vagina falls out. Okay.
Wait, what?
Like, yeah, I was nice to her for 3 years. She owes me dating me now. No, she doesn't. Okay.
Great.
Also, Big Bang Theory just isn't fucking funny.
Big Bang period?
Big Bang period. Yeah. Like, I saw an episode, and a guy comes out, and he's like, hey, look, I found my Super Nintendo. Ah, crappy laugh track. That's not a joke. He found a Super Nintendo.
That's kind of cool.
It's like, kinda hey, boss, you want to play, play some Super Mario Brothers later? Ah! Again, that's not a fucking joke. He just found a Super Nintendo. Of course he could have played.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? That's not a goddamn joke. But they just shoehorn in the laughing.
Yeah, that's my problem with
this. Go on YouTube. Go on YouTube. I just hit the microphone because I gesticulated.
He's a little.
He's talking with his hands right now. So
I'm not just used to. I'm not used to having this microphone. I'm used to one of the boom mics. I'm sorry.
Zappity.
If you go on YouTube, they have videos of Big Bang Theory with the laugh track cut out, and it's the most uncomfortable, awful, awful things ever.
Grumble.
There you go.
Bazinga.
Bojangles. Hey Penny, why you know science? Bojangles. I found a Nintendo!
Hey, we found something to set off Nathan this week.
Which three rules would you remove from War Machine hordes and why?
Nathan's went through these multiple times.
I mean, my three are set in stone. You guys can share yours, but arcing should be, or shooting should be like arcing. You can do it while engaging but not engaged. Light artillery should have pickup instead of that stupid, or take up instead of that stupid weird promotion they have because it's functionally identical. Yeah. And I wish shallow water was removed from game as it currently is. I wish shallow water was, it works like rough terrain except Pathfinder doesn't ignore it, only Amphibious ignores it, and models in it cannot shake.
Those are all really good.
Yeah, I might start putting that terrain out at my scenario, at my events, and just calling it like mud.
As long
and
as
say
you
this
put
scenario piece is mud, and I'll put a piece of paper on it that explains what it is.
Yes, you have to put the piece of paper next to it.
Like I said, that is unique. It makes Amphibious something better than shitty Pathfinder, and it hurts War Machine and Hordes equally, and it doesn't fuck either of them all the way up the ass like a Jack flying down in water does currently. There's my three.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of good with that.
I like War Machine and Hordes. I really don't care.
Yeah, and those are three minor ones. Yeah. Those are really minor changes. Apart from that, I like it.
It's a good system.
I'd go back to Mark 1.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, nothing's better than disabled Jacks.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. We should
I did 10 points of damage. Your Jack's disabled. Yeah,
we should. I was charging and I clipped rough terrain with a 16th of an inch of my base. Charge failed.
You know what we should do sometime? We should have a mind fuck and just play a tournament with running Mark 1 again.
Oh my god!
No,
I can't wait for Scar 1.
No, enjoy your zero turnout.
30 bane knights, 20 bane pile thralls.
I can't. Scar I can't even remember how to play that poorly.
All I remember is you have to kill everyone on turn one.
I want
to
play Grumble. Blighted Legionnaires versus Bane Knights.
I don't want
to. Mark one.
That, it hurt my
Who
head.
Will win the Intermountain Cup?
Not
Seattle.
I'm going to put my money on Gameopolis out of Idaho Falls, given the fact that the hosts, as they sit right now, are 9-0. And I mean, they brought. There's a lot of really good people going into the IMC this year, but to find three better players within 200 miles of where that thing is being held other than Trevor, Jay, and Scott, good luck with all that. So the only thing that will hold them back is if the other five people that show up just don't win. And at the time that I saw, they were 8-8, and three of those wins were – excuse me, they were 4-4, and three of those four wins were the chain attack hosts. So, yeah.
Also, we can just edit this to have the correct answer in, like, 6 hours.
That's a good option.
Sure.
It might not be over in six hours.
Edit.
When?
I know.
Editing.
What? Editing's for losers.
Yeah.
Lance edited.
That whole intro when we were just messing up for 1,000 times, that's still there. That's going to be there.
Excellent.
I feel bad for the Intermountain Cup, to be honest with you, because, honestly, that damn thing should be a two-day event, and it just can't be. It is culturally impossible to hold a two-day event in Utah. It just doesn't work on Sunday, and nobody's going to economically the area is disadvantaged enough that nobody can afford to do hotels, really, except for a very minor few people. So it's a tough deal, but boy, they put on a hell of a show for that one day.
Well, Zappity.
Cool. Grumble.
So Timothy Simpson just lets us know that there's an even better sushi place 10 minutes from the new hotel for War Machine Weekend.
Cool. Zappity. Grumble.
Yep.
How do I respond to that? Okay.
I don't like sushi.
Actually,
it's not as good as Seattle. Thanks.
He texted this twice to us 1 week ago, too. So I accidentally read last week.
This just in, Tim Simpson likes fish.
Yep. Last week, so. Yeah. But no, he has it again, too. So William Hahn asking what beers pubs can recommend for his drinking in Madison. Also, will Katie be his wing woman?
The Essen House.
Yeah,
the Essen House. Just hang out with Andy. I'll take you to a beer.
Essen House, plenty of great bars on State Street, like Great Dane and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's State Street is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is a fabulous thing.
What State Street is it's a, it's not, is it a mile long? Ish,
close.
It runs from campus to the Capitol.
5-6 blocks.
From campus to the Capitol, 5-6 blocks of nothing but small stores, like individual mom and pop stores.
And the Gap.
And a Gap shoehorned in there. Restaurants from every variety of culture you can think of, from South African to Eastern Asian to Inuit.
Some
and
of the best
bars, and more bars. And it's pedestrian only, and it's just hot chicks and cool guys walking up and down in beautiful, beautiful weather, drinking and eating and enjoying it.
Yep.
It's amazing.
It is a great place.
Best place in the world to go to school, bar none. Madison is a fantastic place.
At one end of it is the Capitol, which is the largest state capitol in the nation, by the way. When we rebuilt it after a fire, they made us rebuild it 6 inches shorter so that it wouldn't be taller than the national capitol. At the other end is the Union, the Memorial Union on Lake Mendota, which is a beautiful place to watch a sunset and some co-eds in bikinis.
You got Mendota Terrace there as well. That's off onto the side, overlooking Monona Lake.
It's Wisconsin. We will find you beer.
Yeah, yeah. Just
it's probably in people's cars or something already. So you
can't,
just need to ask.
We can take it. Simply, if you can't find a good time in that vicinity any day of the week, you suck.
Yes, yeah.
You have failed on an epic
State
scale.
Is astounding.
Even then, there's also tons of local breweries that we could take you to go to. Capitol Brewery, Nuclearis Brewery. You got Ale Asylum, I believe, is down there in the area.
Is Nuclearis Brewery in Nuclearis, or is it actually in Madison?
I think
both.
Slightly out.
I think
it's Nuclearis.
My favorite fun fact about Nuclearis Brew is the reason why it's not sent out to other places besides Wisconsin is that you can't make enough for Wisconsin.
Really? Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. Yeah. There's not enough to share. There's not enough to share.
In Milwaukee, I've had that issue before.
Yep. They can't make enough for Wisconsinites' consumption, so they can't ship it out.
Damn good beer.
Yeah, it's damn good.
It's very good.
And you don't need a wing woman. You've watched Love Actually. Just come and talk, and the Wisconsin girls will have sex with you.
Yeah, yeah, you're British.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
Amazing movie.
One of the best holiday movies there is. Amazing. If you're not watching that, you suck.
It's my second favorite Christmas movie.
What's your first?
Die Hard.
That is a great one. Yeah. I don't know why I phased out on that one. Zappity.
Yep.
Grumble.
I just ended that Zappity. Conversation, sorry.
Which one of you has the milkshake that brings all the boys to the yard?
Nathan.
Yeah,
Nathan.
And they won't leave. I'm like, please. They're like, no, your milkshake, baby.
So,
Zappity.
Grumble. What warlock should Danny pair with Cro-Mac for your October 5th event?
Travis, do you have an answer for this? I don't know who asked the question.
He asked it.
Dark Legacy sent it in.
Yeah, I see that too.
You see, I don't have a Twitter account, so.
Oh, I'm excited for the top question.
Yeah, I know.
You pair with Cro-Mac?
Yeah.
Here's the issue.
I was just say that irritating place. Go.
I have to play the other list. Unlike all the other tournaments,
Morvana
where I just play Cro-Mac
because he brings Morvana two
too.
Lists and just plays Cro-Mac. Okay.
Morvana 2.
Yeah.
Morvana 2.
Okay. Well, especially since she does it because she's all about her infantry. You don't need the if you want Gatorix in your Cro-Mac list, she doesn't need Gatorix.
Okay.
She can do fine with just having shitloads of infantry that keep coming back and your opponent
Balder.
Hates you.
And a stalker and a Gorax and blam.
Yeah,
you're done.
The Balder Wold spam thing could work. Morvana 2 is just broken as all hell and doesn't need Getterex, and that's the only two things you're looking for is a good list that doesn't need Getterex.
She could get by with just a stalker. I mean,
nobody in our meta would know what the hell to do with that Wold, the Yeah. The one that, what's his face, down in Atlanta. Yeah.
The Armor 30.
Nobody in our meta would have a clue what to do with that.
I could bring that as well.
I've got enough models for that.
I've got
now.
Answers for that, too.
For the Armor 30, the Baldur thing?
Yeah. If you know,
I played it for a year.
My answer was the Connie Blaze Theme Force. Because Blessed Weapon Master sure tell that list to go fuck itself.
Yeah, it does.
Blessed Weapon Master is good.
Zappity!
Rumble!
Oh, that's a good one.
Annabelle asks, which Merc casters do you think are the best and what with? I think we ask Merc questions all the goddamn time. Shay's
amazing in his Theme Force.
Drake McBain.
Durgan is solid. McBain is a lot of fun. I don't think he's one of their three or four most competitive casters. I think that he's got some good stuff, but he can get answered hard, especially like if somebody has Silence of Death or something like that to fuck with his speed. That I've run into that before against it was E-Morgul, just said fuck you.
Butcher
but
3 says
it. Shay is astounding. Damiano with Pirates is my favorite list I've ever used in my life. I think it's astoundingly good. Mm. And Durgan is a good combination of competitively solid and really fun.
I think all three Dwarf casters are pretty solid. I mean, Osram is pretty sweet. And
don't take him in Searforge.
Osram's the weakest of the three. Gordon,
you can.
Osram,
but
Theme Force. You wouldn't Searforge, you'd Theme Force. If you were doing, for some reason, a three list, have to play at least
Masters.
If you were doing Masters with Mercs, my third list would be Gordon Searforge because he's the one who can most deal with it, and then it helps you get out of that character restricted kerfuffle.
And if you want to, you can drop that first as a dark horse.
His feet deploying 14 inches up the table
is
going to win you a control of the geometry scenario.
Yep.
It just will.
And you actually have some new dwarves in there that can deal with incorporeal stuff.
The tactical arcane.
Yeah.
I won a game with Gorton without ever touching my dice once.
Yeah.
My dice stayed in my tray, and I won a tournament game. You can do that.
Yeah.
Danny proved it a couple tournaments ago.
Against Dave. Did the same thing.
Kruger 2, right? But similar theory,
yeah.
Zappity.
Is that a bullfrog?
That was pretty much it. Who is your favorite Sentinels of the multiverse character?
Ra.
Or hero?
Tachyon.
I'm going to have to go with Haka.
The gun chick. I'm bringing her name. Suffragette. Not Suffragette. Something at. You know, the chick with the guns. I played her the last game. You lying sack of crap. You are trolling me here. Oh my god.
I don't know.
Where's your fucking Sentinels of the Multiverse box? She's called not Suffragette, it's something at
god with the bounties?
Andy, you're trolling me on purpose.
No, that's Chrono Ranger,
that's
the bounties.
She has guns and she has ammo types she puts in the guns so like she can have a freeze shotgun or she can have
everyone
the fire
that
machine.
Knows Sentinels of the Multiverse is yelling it at you right now.
I know they are. And
Kara Sloan.
God, yes, it's Kara Sloan. I love playing Kara Sloan in Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Weapon Master or something?
Well, the thing is, what's dumb is she puts all these guns out, and you only get her power is to play a second card. It's a good power, too. But she puts all these guns out, and one of her cards is she gains as many powers as she has guns out, and each gun to use it as a power. So hypothetically, that card is supposed to allow you to shoot each gun once. Doesn't tell you that.
You shoot the same
gun.
So
you have like
times.
Five pistols and a shotgun, you just shoot that shotgun six times. It's really, it's really solid.
Ex parte?
Ex parte?
No, she's a villain.
No.
No, she's a hero.
It's not ex-parte, it's expatriate.
Ex-parte.
Oh my fucking god. Expatriate. Zappity!
No, I didn't get to say my hero.
Fuck you! Fine, say your hero.
Hey,
I like the Wraith.
Zappity!
Nathan. Is she like the sex patriot because, like the Sex Pistols?
Yes. I'm just gonna go with that because I'm so angry that he pronounced it ex-parte.
The one character I actually really disliked was the Chrono Ranger. Of course, it was in a very horrible...
That's because you had a negative play experience with
that. Oh, my God.
God, that it was hard.
Like, it wasn't necessarily his fault.
No, it was because Gloomweaver and Tomb of Ra were the...
Tomb of Anubis.
Tomb of Anubis. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
That was a
3-hour sentence. For those of you who are harking back, that's a callback to an earlier podcast. That's a sign of professional podcasting. I was involved in that mess.
We didn't talk about it on the podcast. Though,
oh, my God.
We did.
I listened to it.
The last podcast that you were on is kind of a root source of a lot of rage for me because, if you recall, I dropped some tech on that podcast.
Yes, you did.
Regarding blind mm-hmm. or disruption or that's other right. such yeah. things like that.
It was really good.
Now, like the last month or so, people are like dropping that on all over the forums and be like, wow, that's great. I'm like, you sons of bitches.
Give me some fucking credit.
No, someone else did it to you first.
I saw someone on the rules forum ask, hey, what happens if?
Yes.
Not they didn't say to do it on purpose.
I know.
Plagiarism is the most sincere form of compliment.
Of flattery.
It's flattery.
I make up the words do exactly as I tell them to. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Well, then I look forward to you enjoying painting with Menoth, Nate.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You're too lazy.
Can I paint Menoth, Nate? Woohoo!
No, it's gonna be like I'm gonna get all the painting stuff out and set on the table, and then I'm just gonna masturbate and fall asleep. Because that's my normal painting habit.
Jesus Christ. That's not going on. That
went to a dark
channel.
Place. Yeah, that escalated quickly. Yeah.
That's way too much information.
I mean, I really got out of hand.
When I say masturbate, I meant watch TV and masturbate.
Zappity.
Grumble.
God damn it.
Jesus Christ.
I don't want to turn into a werewolf. Come on. There are people to think of in this town.
You masturbate that much, your hand will turn into a werewolf.
I'm going to skip the one that was sent out 34 minutes ago. I'm going to go to the one that was 2 minutes ago. If Nathan could rant about a topic for an hour, what would that topic be?
Masturbation.
It would be Big Bang Theory.
If you want to rant for an hour for the Big Bang Theory, and I just produce it as just a podcast, just like Nathan rants. And
I just rant for an hour, just stream of consciousness about things that make me angry. I would happily do that sometime. One of my biggest pet peeves, and that I could rant for an hour about, and it would be, if I were Supreme Overlord, there would be like three capital offenses I would institute. Like, for example, if your twin's just the same or have names that rhyme or alliterate, I execute you. And then they're given over as wards to the state. Because they're
like
individuals, they don't need to dress the same or have names that rhyme or alliterate, fuck you.
Prepare audience.
So you destroy the Duggar family?
If you repeat the same line more than three times in a row in your song, you're executed. So find new lyrics, you talentless fuck.
So you execute basically all of music right now.
Most of it right now. Adele would be crucified in public. rumor has it more than every single other line in that song put together. Write some lyrics, you lazy cow.
Okay, what about Bill Withers? And I know.
Well, so,
I know.
There's some in that does go on a little long and annoys me a little bit. But then, and there's an allowance for things like Daft Punk, like Around the World, it's not lyrics as much as like an instrument in the human voice, you know, and that's different than just saying say what you mean to say for the last 15 minutes of your 60-minute fucking song. You talent.
So you wouldn't like the Get Lucky song by Daft Punk?
Again,
you're asking for a level of consistency he's incapable of.
Just go to your next point.
Zappity.
No, he's got another point. He had
it just drives me insane. It's just at the fucking
you had
song.
Two. What's your third one?
I forget. I'm too angry about the music now. But that just annoys me, especially because there's music at work, and there's a couple songs. The Say What You Need to Say one is awful, and there's a Moment Changes Everything. Oh, my God, people. Get on YouTube or whatever and listen to
this?
A Moment Changes Everything
this?
By some talentless fuckhole. I forget who his name is.
They need a special mention.
Somebody who's famous. But the song, he just says it over and over and over. It's like
so twins dressing the same,
the
name alliteration, and then songs repeating the same words over and over. So do you even recall your third one?
Is that going to be your mission statement? It's just basically going to be like slowly scrawling out and then until you're just so angry you can't finish the mission statement.
God damn it.
If Nathan, if that's your presidential platform, I think you'll have some followers.
I probably will.
Point one. Point two. Point three.
Point four, just long banging and smashing of everything. I just table flip the podium that I'm getting
the speech
inaugurated on.
Yep.
Oh, that would be a great debate to see.
Could you imagine the other candidate watching that take place at the podium next to him? The lectern's like shattering into wood chips. And he's like, what the fuck?
Because I go last. Like, you know, there's somebody who says, well, you know, we need taxes and jobs and blah, blah, blah. And the next person's like, ah, blah, 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 and immigration. I just go, fuck you! And
flipping over the podium and then drop kicking the other person's podium. Yeah. That would be excellent.
Just charging over and kicking.
Yeah. Or no, just tackle it.
Yes.
We're tackling it's, him.
And it probably wouldn't even wait till you just got to that person. It'd be like half the person would be halfway through their
tackle,
statement.
Get up, walk away, dust yourself off, pick your pony back up, get ready for the next question.
Go ahead. Next question, please. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, we should do that. We should have a Nate's rant, and we'll
just put me alone in a room with a microphone for an hour.
We need a video of you doing it too, because
of it slowly getting closer to his face.
Because your facial expressions are like the anger is palatable.
It's there.
Oh, that's so doable. That's very doable.
If you want a drink before you do it, that's even better.
Rumor had it. Fucking Adele.
So then we.
What?
You gotta do something.
Why are you kissing your microphone? You gotta say something. I thought that was the last one. Zappity.
Grumble.
No, there's one more.
We're going back to the one you skipped.
Yeah, back to the one that we skipped here. The person that sent Nathan into a rage was MTL for Mike the Lurker.
Very nice. So
that's who did that. But this one is from Marauder Mitch. We've had talks from him before. If you had to Rochambeau one member of Focus and Fury, if you got to Rochambeau one member of Focus and Fury, who and why?
Beanish, because he wanted to attend my damn con.
I don't know. I've seen his dick. It's a small target, so it's a bad choice.
Whatever.
See, that was just me being mean. I would pick him too. I would pick. Does he count as a member of Focus and Fury anymore?
Is it a new crew or old crew?
It said member of Focus and Fury, so I mean, I'll he's technically still crew. A member. Maybe a retired member.
Yeah, he's an honorary.
Yeah, he's like Jason in our podcast, but we're not really honorary.
Dishonor, infamous El Guapo.
Yes.
Andy, anyone?
Huh? No, John? I'm not mean. Nobody? I don't
listen to their podcast. Never have. Never will.
I like the guys that came down to your guys' event.
They're very nice people. I think the world of Nigel.
Those guys are all great.
I think I had a fun time with them.
I had a very fun time recording with them. It's not my podcast to listen to. It's not my thing.
Let's just all go with Nigel simultaneously. Yeah, Nigel. Yeah. Five boots right into his crotch.
No, hold on. Can we Rochambeau the Focus and Fury Forum?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, technically, they are probably a part of their podcast is the forum itself.
Because,
I would kick that square in the nuts.
Square in the nuts.
I would hit that in the darkness.
I think the forum is like way above any of their members on the rating.
Well, I was happy when I found out that one of the default schemes on that forum is bright pink with flowers and rainbows in the background. So I set it as that, and then one of their default avatars is Freddie Prinze Jr.
Would you say?
So I have Freddie Prinze Jr. with pink from flowers and rainbows, and it makes it so fun to go there because people are just angry and talking about rape and murder and death and how much they're all fuck. You're fucking retarded. No, you're fucking retarded. And they're just rainbows and Freddie Prinze Jr. smiling at me the whole time. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
I might have to change my background color on that.
Oh, it's great. It's one of their defaults.
Mine's the default black.
I know. It's great. Because I was at Adepticon and I was looking at it on the computer and the Privateer Press, I forget who it was like Hunger for whoever's like, what the hell website are you on? I'm like, dude, this is how I deal with Focus and Fury.
No wonder you're so chipper on there.
Oh, seems legit.
Yeah.
Well, we can go into, that's pretty much it for Zapping and Rumble, but we can go into our recommendations if anybody has any real quick.
Omega Protocol.
You bastard.
It's really good.
I've been waiting all podcasts to jump on.
He wanted to jump in front of me.
That always happens with stuff like the Firefly Board Game or something. There's like three of us looking at each other, and we all know one of us is going to recommend it first.
So, Danny, why do you recommend the Omega Protocol?
It's very similar to either Descent or Mansions of Madness. I enjoyed it. The only issue we had was our first game. We didn't know any of the rules, so it took a bit longer. Just looking up the rules and stuff like that. But it was really well balanced, and it felt like everyone was doing something in the group.
It still only took us 2.5 hours to play the game without knowing the rules. Really.
Like we knew
I do like the adrenaline mechanic. It's really neat. Yes. The more one team does, the more the other team gets to do.
Unless your players are just not going to use adrenaline ever.
Right.
That well, then you get a minimum, game,
though. It did.
The countermeasure specialists, everything they do uses adrenaline.
I know, but they're like, oh, we're going to do 10.
But even still, the interesting thing is that the adrenaline required to fire a weapon is identical to the adrenaline required to make a new enemy. So even if every time you shoot, you kill an enemy, at the best, you're breaking even.
Yep.
Yeah, the problem is the Overseer can't bring on a new enemy every turn.
Yeah, well, still. But he can bring out multiple at a turn. The thing is, you can also get played a bit because you had countermeasures. The countermeasure specialist with his everybody rolls a die and you give that much fewer adrenaline to the Overseer. That's a good ability.
Seems really good. Yeah.
That was one of the ones I had when I played the count.
I enjoyed the Sentry Bot.
Yes, the Sentry Bot's
super good.
Yeah. 360 line of sight, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Turns out that helps.
Yep.
John?
Oh, God. I was afraid you were going to call it. Sam.
Andy. Sam. McLeod. Somebody?
Yeah, if we don't have any.
I'm going to recommend the spin-off television show Avatar: The Last Airbender. It's based on the adventures of Jake Sully and his quest to obtain Inna Probabilium using the power of kung fu and love.
I'm actually going to request...
And a wheelchair.
Wheelchair helps a lot.
Recommend Avatar: The Last Airbender, Season 2 of Legend of Korra, because it's better than Nathan thinks it is.
I never said it was bad. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And it just started the second season. The episodes are on Friday nights, and they're dealing with spirits, and they're pretty badass in their graphics on it so far. So they really stepped up the animation style, which is really
It is awesome. A legit good show. I'll break character and say Avatar Last Airbender. It's a legit good show, which is why it was so annoying that Shyamalan made the worst pile of fart shit ever.
Yeah.
Yes. The graphics look pretty.
Except in the live action one,
yeah,
they'd have looked prettier if he hadn't have darkened the whole thing to pitch blackness in the attempt to make it 3D.
Yeah, because the black 3D conversion, aspect of it,
the 3D awful. Conversion when done after the when you don't film in 3D, when you film in 2D and then convert to 3D, it darkens the film and so it's muddy and unviewable.
Yeah, if it was bright, because the entire show is bright. The
show is bright.
Yeah, I don't know why they avoided that.
Rainbow bright?
Yes. See the color light.
No. Oh, okay. I have a recommendation.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to have mine too. I'm going to recommend Boxer Dogs.
They're adorable
because they're wonderful, and they're a very nice dog, and they're good with children. So if you don't have a dog, get a Boxer Dog because there are a lot of Boxer Dogs out there that need homes. And if you don't have a Boxer Dog and you want to get a Boxer Dog, I would go to Atlanta Boxer Rescue. You can look them up on to interwebs, AtlantaBoxerRescue.com. They have some of the most adorable dogs that have had rough lives, and those boxers are just waiting for you to take them home and give them a nice, wonderful place. Craig Ferguson has told me that his boxer is Farty. Is yours Farty? My dog has the most ridiculous gas in 8 states. That dog is peeling the paint in different rooms from where she's dropping ass.
Nice.
I woke up one time because the dog farted. And the dog was across the room, and it woke me up. That dog is a sewage treatment plant on 4 wheeled legs.
My brother's dog once got into the turkey 3 days after Thanksgiving from the garbage can in the garage.
Not gonna end well.
So it was not. What was great is like we didn't realize she had done that. We found out later that this was why. But we were in the living room and we're just watching TV or whatever. And the dog stood there. All of a sudden, the dog just stands up, like bolts, like you heard a gunshot, like, oh my God, and runs out of the room, just sprints out of the room. And a moment later, we discover the reason why. And like, when a dog farts and the dog knows it's going to be so bad it wants to be in a different building, it's going to be bad.
So, John, about that time when you fed your dog the wrong amount of medication or food or whatever that was, remember that?
Oh, my God. And, you know, I'm really bracing myself, to be honest with you. I'm here in Madison today for this event, so I put my dog in the kennel. So putting the dog in the kennel results in her being a little nervous, which results in the most ridiculous shits in history, followed by the worst gas in the universe. So, yeah, nice. You feed the dog the wrong stuff, and this dog literally is a striped sewage plant. And I mean I would roll up on the secondary treatment ponds at the Racine Waterworks before I could stand being in the same room with this foul beast.
This is not helping go adopt a new boxer.
So I recommend a boxer dog because they're cute.
I would say though any animal that you can get that actually could break you it could wake you from being asleep, a sound sleep, just by a smell, is pretty strong.
At least you know that it'd be a good guard dog. It's like if a burglar's breaking in, the dog just breaks wind and gets you awake right away.
Well, the worst part
and
is
kills the burglar.
And the worst part is, you know, they don't have an ass. I mean, the sphincter's just like right out in in everything. So it's not like they're gonna fart. And but yet here it comes, and the next thing you know, like a fog has descended on the room.
The danger with dogs and boxers in particular, because they have that, like you said, the just there's the anus all
hey,
the time
there's
kind
my
of
ass.
Back end is the sound effect a fart makes. Just, you know, we'll get medical here. Is your butt cheeks slapping together as
absolutely.
The wind forces them apart? It's
absolutely.
Whap, 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 whap. And so
very rhythmic.
Animals that don't butt cheeks exist. The purpose of the glutes is so you can walk erect. They are the only muscle that spans from the top of the body to the bottom of the body. So they are what hold you erect, like a taut rubber band. So animals that walk on all four don't need butt cheeks, so they don't have butt cheeks, so you don't get that sound effect, and so they're always silent but deadly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That
and
is
then,
science.
And then
does your dog possess the spell Cloud Kill?
Well, what's that?
Cloud Kill?
Yes, I just D&D nerded
it. It's a level 6 spell?
Something like that.
I never went past Rope Trick because that was broken as shit.
Rope Trick is pretty broken.
It is amazing.
So the boxer dog drops ass and kills a moose in Alaska and then looks at you with the dumbest fucking look on its face you can possibly imagine.
Why is everybody missing?
What's that smell?
Why are you vomiting, boss?
Hi, Lester. Why don't I come up here right on the bed? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so go out to your local shelter and
Atlanta
Boxer
Rescue.
That was just an animal in general.
I'm going to piggyback, and we're all about to do the same thing, but I'm going to piggyback on that and say my recommendation is to never buy a pet from a pet store.
Agreed.
Shelters exist, and you will find wonderful pets.
Yep.
My dog was a rescue dog.
I mean, and it's number one. They're gonna have they usually have great personalities. They're wonderful pets. A lot of they're already gonna be housebroken and whatnot because they're not the puppies.
And
they're gonna be
most
about $500 cheaper because you're not gonna pay $600 for some yapper little puppy. Instead, you're gonna get a 1 year old dog with a great personality for $50 or something.
And most of the medicine.
And they're
going to
have all shots and everything.
Taken care of, yep.
It's just win-win-win-win-win all the way around. And, of course, it's great for the animal because you're getting them out of a situation. Shelters are – like, I'm not saying the shelters are bad situations, but obviously they're not as good as being in a loving
road.
Home.
Yep. Yeah.
They're supposed to be a temporary thing, you know, but it's win-win-win. Get yourself a pet. Pets are wonderful. And when you do so, get it from a shelter. And don't just think – people just think of like dogs. You can go to your local animal
there's
shelter.
Everything.
They're going to have guinea pigs and ferrets and hamsters and all
and
those
birds.
Things. And birds. Birds, oh my God, parrots.
So many birds.
Yeah, because parrots live to be like 100. So
they
the owners
can outlive
die.
The owners.
They usually do. There are bird therapists because they're so smart and they outlive their owners, so they go into mourning. And of course, people inherit them. Grandma has a 20-year-old cockatiel and she dies. Her kids don't want the fucking thing, so they give it to the shelter. And these things are way too smart for that. So before you buy any pet, check your local shelter. They're going to have what you're looking for or something close.
I feel like this is a very special episode of Price is Right.
Yeah. Make sure you're not allergic to the pet.
Also that.
I mean,
brought to you by Wheezy.
That's a major
that
concern, but.
No, it makes sense. My recommendation is not any pet related at all. I'm going to recommend Ray Donovan. It's a show that's on HBO or Showtime. It stars Liev Schreiber, who, if you don't know who that is, he played Sabretooth in the ill-fortuned X-Men movie.
Which one?
Wolverine. But he was the good. But he was. One
but
of the
but
good
he
parts
was.
Of
he
it.
Was the. Yeah, he was one of the best parts.
X-Men
of the
Origins
film.
Wolverine.
Okay, yeah, that's the actor I thought. Yeah.
But
I like him. He's a good actor.
John Voight is in the movie in the show as well. It's running about 10 episodes right now into the season, and it is great. It is easily one of my favorite shows of the new seasons. Recommend Ray Donovan.
Excellent.
Yep.
I recommend Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta?
Yeah. He smells like apples.
So you're making like four recommendations today?
How would you know that he smells like apples?
That was actually a semi-obscure MST3K reference. There was a sketch where Mike had hit himself on the head and thought that he was James Lipton from inside the actor's studio, and he was interviewing Crow, who he was under the delusion was Ray Liotta, and he said that he had once heard that he smelled like apples.
Are you going to be really sad that MST3K is pretty much over?
That show died the minute Joel died.
Well,
the people that were on
Cinematic Titanic did their final tour, but to my knowledge,
going on right now.
So there was two. There's like 12 people that did the MST3K, and half of them were doing Cinematic Titanic, which is on its final tour. But Riff Trax is still going.
Sure.
And Riff Trax. So basically, the first cast with Joel and why am I
Crow.
Blanking on who? Well, who? Yeah. Trace Beaulieu, who played Dr. Forrester and Crow. Like, that first crew, TV's Frank, Mary Jo Fell, they were Cinematic Titanic, and this is their last tour. Mm-hmm. But Mike and Kevin and...
I don't know anything about it. I just know that that's...
The people who did the three characters in the theater for the four finalist seasons do a different one. They do Riff Tracks, and that one's still going. Riff Tracks is solid. So that's good. I'll recommend Riff Tracks also.
So like six recommendations. You're ruining yourself.
And when you go to a shelter, get a rat. Rats are good pets.
They actually are.
They're super good. They're the cleanest, smartest, and friendliest of all rodents.
My sister had a rat when we were growing up. Yeah. Well, multiple, because they don't actually live that long.
They live like 3-4 years, like any other rodent. They're not going to live very long.
But they're
going to be litter trained. Really... They'll learn their own names. Yep. I had a three-legged rat named Long John Silver.
Nice.
We got him for free because he was defective. My wife at the time worked at a pet store, and the rat was missing a foot. And they're like, "You want it?" And she goes, "Okay."
Works out.
All right, I think we should probably wrap it up.
Let's best thing ever in the world: steal prizes from Nathan.
Fucker.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.